Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four people who are going to play the game. We have Peter Jones, we have Derek Nimmo, and we have Kenneth Williams. We also have a guest, and returning from previous triumphs, we welcome into the guest seat Alfred Marx. Will you please welcome all four of them? The creator of the game, Ian Messiter, usually sits beside me. He blows a whistle when 60 seconds is up. He keeps the score. Unfortunately, he can't be with me this week, but fortunately for me, the lovely Anne Ling is with me, and she will do the functions that Ian Messiter did. I'm going to ask our panelists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and try and do that without hesitation, or repetition, or deviation. And let's begin the show this week with our guest, Alfred Marx. Alfred, talking to plants.
Some years ago, botanists and scientists said that if you talk to plants, they will flourish and they will nurture and they will grow better. I used not to subscribe to this. I do now, since Prince Charles himself has admitted that he himself does talk to plants.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of himself.
That's right. I'm afraid you repeated himself. So, Peter, you have a correct challenge. So you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of talking to plants. And there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I believe in talking to plants also, but not in a very nice way. I think it's best to be perfectly firm and stern with them, like, don't droop, stand up, blooms upwards, facing the sun, with your leaves.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
He was carried away with standing upwards and blooming. Yes. And he hesitated, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I did.
Lots of earth,
Alfred,
and ums.
You have a point for a correct challenge, and you have 26 seconds to continue talking on... speaking on talking to plants, starting now.
Taking a leaf from His Royal Highness's book, I decided not only to talk to plants, but to love plants. And I do indeed do just that. Not only do I talk to them, I take them to bed, I kiss them, I feed them, I play music. Now, I hesitate. I must remind you that when I say I take a plant with me to sleep, I'm talking about the female plants, of course, because I'm not bent. And I buy Walkman outfits and I put them on the heads of the plants and they listen to music. It's difficult because some African violins...
Well, Alfred Marx got the subject back, and he was speaking as the whistle went, and he gets an extra point for doing that. And at the end of the first round, he's naturally in the lead. And Derek Nimmo, we'd like to hear from you, so will you take the next round on the subject, Methodists?
Methodists were started, really, by John Wesley in Oxford in the 18th century as part of the Anglican Communion. It didn't actually start as a separate grouping until 1791, after John had died. But I always remember that wonderful line of Oscar Wilde, which made me laugh so much, when he said, never make love to a Methodist standing up, because it could lead to dancing. Now, I don't find that is so terribly funny, but I just think it's such a lovely idea. Because, you see, Methodists aren't very keen on waltzes and paraglides and military two-steps, at least they weren't at the time. Now, Lord Soper is a great chum of mine. I often pop along to see him standing around in Hyde Park Corner, spouting away, and he says that the common book of prayer to him is rather like the pious might think of a harp.
So Derek Nimmo started with the subject of Methodists and kept going without interruption for the full minute, so he gets 1 point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. So another round of applause for Derek. At the end of that round, Derek Nimmo with his 2 points is equal with Alfred Marx in the lead, and Peter Jones has a point. Kenneth Williams has yet to speak, and Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, film. Will you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, it's a wonderful medium, and I go to the cinema whenever I can. The names of directors appeal to me, really, more than stars. Billy Wilder's name, for instance, Robert Altman, and a number of the continental people, they really act like magnets, and I make my way toward these wonderful edifices. There aren't many of the large ones left, but such as there are, I like to frequent as frequently as I can.
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
We seem to have come to an enormous pause.
I think a full stop entirely.
It was, yes. It was,
it was one of those
reload,
big edifices.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, so, Kenneth, you have a point for a correct challenge. You have the subject. You have 31 seconds. film starting now?
The first film I did, the director to whom my colleague has drawn such distinguished applause, was very rude to me and said with a close-up, it looks like the Blackwall Tunnel. To your nose, so keep well away. I felt terribly downcast. And for me, all films should be like Merleau-Ponty was done through a gauze. But then, you see, all the impediments...
Visualize what you'd look like through a gauze, Kenneth. Anyway, Kenneth, you kept going to the whistle went, you gained that extra point. At the end of that round, you're equal with Alfred Marx and Derek Nimmo, and Peter's 1 point behind. And Kenneth, it is your turn to begin. Something that you regularly do, the next subject. Gripping the audience.
Well, an audience is obviously gripped when there is suspense going on. I mean, immediately they become involved and think, what's going to happen now? Then they are on the edge of the seat, so to speak, with this kind of suspenseful excitement. And this is a delightful thing to watch. If you're in a house and feel part of the action that's going on up there on the stairs with all those glorious people like Boo... No, what was her name? I was thinking of what's Boulay, isn't
Boulay,
it? What's her first
yeah.
name?
Evelyn.
Evelyn. I've got to B and Boo. Well. Yeah. That's what ruined me.
Well, anyway, Alfred, you got him with the correct challenge, gripping the audience, and there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
I have never or rarely ever seen an audience more gripped than during my sojourn at the Windmill Theatre in London's famous Piccadilly. There, the famous nude shows burst...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of famous.
Famous, yes, absolutely, famous show, yes. It was very famous, mind you.
Yes, yes. Derek, you have the subject of gripping the audience, and there are 11 seconds starting now.
Earlier in my career, I had quite a different nose, and I used to play rather sinister parts. I remember playing a rapist in a play called Johnny Belinda, and I had to go and steal from this poor little deaf girl, Damswell, her baby. And I picked it up...
I'm very relieved I didn't have to hear the end of that.
You pinched that baby?
Yes, on the stage, Judy.
Oh, I see.
And a woman was so carried away by the magnificence of my portrayal that as I wandered off stealing the poor little dumb girl's baby, she said, "Put it down, you bugger." And I thought that I gripped the audience. It was the first and last time I might say. I've never done it since.
So let's get back to just a minute. Alfred, your turn to begin. The subject, junk food.
We have, I suppose, to thank America for what is laughingly called junk food, although some scientists and nutritionists have said that, in fact, it is not junk food. It contains vitamins, iron, and all the things we need and require for a whole day's healthy living. I, for one, am not very fond of junk food because I have a wife, fortunately, who is a wonderful cook. On the other hand, do you call takeaway Chinese food junk food? Do you call takeaway Indian food junk food?
Derek Nimmo has chunked.
Two takeaways.
Takeaway, yes. Well, there were two takeaways. There was a Chinese and there was an Indian.
But you took away too much, unfortunately.
I did, yes.
So, Derek, you have the subject of junk food, and there are 43 seconds left, starting now.
The best way to obtain food for your junk is to leave the harbour of Aberdeen on Hong Kong Island, sail past Lantau, and down to the small island of Poi Toi, where there's a wonderful...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, deviation, we're not on junk food, we're on navigation.
Tell you where you get it.
Well, I know, Derek, Poi Toi, but we all know that you... We all know that Derek has to scour the world looking for work. Because he can't get a job in this country. Yeah. But I don't think he ought to drag it in all the time.
Well, whether he drags it in or not, he keeps going in just a minute. But Kenneth, you have a correct challenge and you have junk food. And there are 29 seconds starting now.
I can speak from personal experience that I would...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Wrong speed.
Oh, we'll do what I've done before. Give Peter a bonus point for a lovely
challenge.
Oh,
yes, he's so witty, isn't he? Other people's expense.
Well, it certainly is, isn't it? But you can't help that.
No, he can't. I've got to sit here looking like a lemon, don't I?
You could never look like a lemon.
How do you think I feel? Humiliated like that. Wrong speed, as though I'm some sort of freak.
Do you ever think that Kenneth could look like a lemon? I take it all back, Kenneth. Right.
What a terrible house we've got here.
You do get a point, of course, for being interrupted.
Oh, good.
But you keep the subject as well. It is junk food, and there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
On a boat, on a canal, I was given this...
Alfred Marx's challenge.
Repetition of breathing.
Yes, carry on.
He's breathing all the time. Yeah. And it's getting on my nerves, frankly.
And you're trying very hard.
When you get it out of nostrils like that, kid, I mean, you are getting... You know what I mean, Fred?
I do know what you mean, and you're trying very hard, but he wasn't repeating anything which he shouldn't in just a minute, because it is the words. Alfred,
I think there are a lot of very unfortunate personal attacks on Kenneth Williams.
Yes.
And I think you ought to stop them, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Would you stop making personal attacks on Kenneth Williams?
Kenneth, you still have the subject, which is junk food, and there are 12 seconds left, starting now.
And they shoveled all this chili con carne down me. Well, I was up half the night. And what went with it was some sort of oriental muck called sake or something like that. And of course, you see, I never knew what it was.
So Kenneth Williams was then speaking as the whistle went, and he now has gone into the lead. Alongside Derek Nimmer, who now begins the next round. And Peter, I'm very sorry about this, because I didn't think up the subject is in, because it is another sort of travel subject, really, for Derek.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's the Taj Mahal.
Ah,
so, Derek, will you tell us something about the Taj Mahal in just a minute, starting now?
Well, last time I went to the Taj Mahal looking for work, because nobody would employ me in this country, I happened to arrive at moonlight, which is always the best.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Lunatic place to go.
Looking for work.
Yes, of course. What can you possibly do there?
Well, I was doing my snake act. They like it. Snake charm.
So what is your challenge? He was deviating.
Yes.
Why? Because he was looking
for work. Because he admitted that he was looking for work and that he went to the Taj Mahal. Or does he mean in the Taj Mahal restaurant in Edgware Road? Where he could have got a job as a waiter.
It is a very devious idea.
Talking about the Taj Mahal.
But I think that we'll allow him poetic license on the sex that he went over the Taj Mahal. And so he continues with the subject of the Taj Mahal, and there are 52 seconds left, starting now.
The Taj Mahal was built by Shah Jahan in the 17th century because he loved greatly his third wife, Mahal, who is buried within that great sepulchre. And in fact, she bore him 14 children, and it was while she was trying to produce the 15th that she snuffed it. And he intended to build another Taj next door in black marble. And in fact, if you go there from Agra, you wander down and go across through the Red Fort, you can see the foundation of this other Taj that was going to be built for his own body to rest within. In fact, his son overthrew him, and he was taken away to this great castle built in this rosy-colored sandstone and imprisoned by this one boy, and he could only see the Taj Mahal for the rest of his life through an emerald on the ring of his finger. He used to put through it.
Well, Derek Nimmer started with the Taj Mahal and finished with the Taj Mahal, and he is now in the lead at the end of that round. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. And the subject is a good turn. So will you tell us something about that subject in the game, starting now?
Well, I think of the people in the old music halls who were often very good turns. Norman Evans. Now, he was a very good turn. He used to do one over the garden wall. It was a sort of drag act. And he took his teeth out and he gossiped to an imaginary neighbour on the other side of this edifice. And he was dressed very neatly in a sort of spotted blouse. You never saw the skirt because it was concealed on the other side. You imagine it.
Derek Nimmer, she's sort of gradually crumbling to a stop.
Yes.
A lot of little hesitation.
Often after 30 seconds, he does begin to crumble a little, but
yes.
I'm afraid I agree with the hesitation challenge, and there are 31 seconds for you, Derek, on a good turn starting now.
When I joined the Wolf Cubs, which is, as you know, is a sort of paramilitary organization, then to recite in front of the whole pack, I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God and the King, to keep the law of the pack.
And Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Well, we had a lot of to-do.
Yes, we did have a... So, Kenneth, Let's hear from you on a good turn with 11 seconds left, starting now.
It was my gran who used to do Grace Darling. She pulled away all the dashing spray over the waters blue.
That was a very good turn you did.
Well,
then,
it didn't
Kenny.
Take much to get her going. They used to say, buy another half a brown ale, she'll do another one. She's coming out with numbers. Marvellous song she had.
And it is, Kenneth, your turn to begin. Victoria Sackville West, will you tell us something about her? Well, Nesta thinks that you can give us information on these erudite subjects. I'm sure you're up to it, and you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, I suppose she achieved most fame with this book, All Passion Spent.
And she was married to Harold Nicholson, and they had this house at Sittinghurst in the garden there. She conceived the idea, I think it's quite extraordinary, of having roses trailing over one's head in an arbor. And when I saw the result of all this luxuriant profusion, I can only say that I was filled with a kind of horticultural dismay. On the other hand, she was a close friend of Virginia Woolf, and used to shout out in Bloomsbury, aye, aye, when she very thick, and many people maintain that she had a certain preference for the ladies.
Well, the round of applause not only was for your impersonation...
Oh, will you tell him the truth? Go on, tell him the truth. Nobody else wanted Vita Sackville West.
I think it was also your erudition.
Anyway, it takes a long time to say it, doesn't it? Victoria Sackville West and Mrs. Harold Nicholson.
Yes.
It takes quite a long time.
And Virginia Woolf and all the other names.
Exactly, yes. If they give me anybody, I swear it'll be Proust.
Yes. So you get 1 point, Kenneth, for speaking as a whistle wave. One point for not being interrupted, so you have 2 for that. And Peter Jones has another point for amusing the audience just then. So, what have we got to? Alfred Marx, it's yours. Oh, let me give you the score. Kenneth Williams is in the lead. One ahead of Derek Nimmo. Alfred Marx and Peter Jones are equal in third place. And Alfred, you begin the next round. The subject, my birth sign. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Having been born in January, January 28th to be precise, I know. Of course I'm a guest and should be have preference. I should have some sort of
5 seconds, on me right. Like to get the guests underway. But it was a correct challenge, and if you come in with a correct challenge, I have to be fair within the rules of the game, Derek, and say, you are right, you have another point, you have the subject of my birth sign, and there are 55 seconds starting now.
I was born the 19th of September, so I am a Virgo.
And Alfred Marx.
That is a damn lie I've ever heard running. That is a deviation, which is what he is.
Right. But as you're the guest and the audience obviously approve your reaction and also your challenge, we give it back to you. My birth sign.
Sucks boo.
50 seconds starting now. And can you give the challenge?
Well, pause. I mean, it was a hell of a pause. I mean, he hangs about and all this, wipes his nose, gets up and around. I mean, go on.
But I wasn't fair to Derek when he challenged then, and so I wouldn't be fair to Derek.
You're
if
only
I...
cared about you. You dyed your hair, I can tell.
I can assure you that's not true, but what's the matter on radio? I can't prove anything, can I?
Smile off, can't you?
Right. If anybody wants to write in for a lock of my gold-spun hair, I will send them one and they can have it analysed. Alfred, I'm not going to allow that challenge either because you are a guest and it wouldn't be fair. So, therefore, you have my birth sign still with 47 seconds left, starting now.
My birth sign is Aquarius, known as the water carrier, which at my age is not quite true. Now, some people believe in birth signs. I do not, however, and I do not read the horoscope in the papers. I think it is a lot of twaddle. I cannot possibly imagine that a little bushman from Africa, born on the same day as I was, is going to suffer the same fate tomorrow as I am about to. I refuse to absolutely adamantly believe this. I also
Derek Nimmer has chucked.
Repetition of belief.
Yes, you did have too much belief.
Too belief, yes.
Derek, you take the subject back of my birth sign, and there are 18 seconds left starting now.
Bulgarians are supposed to be very fussy, fastidious people. They even put a newspaper under a cuckoo clock. And they always say that when a person born under my sign makes love, a lady that is, she always closes her eyes. It's not because she's prudish, but she hates to see her husband enjoying himself.
With those devious thoughts from Derek Nimmer, he brought the subject to a close. An extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And Derek, your turn to begin the subject, locks. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, if you wander up St. James between Berry Brothers and Rugg and Lobbs, you will find the very distinguished hatter called Locks, with a lot of very old mouldy toppers and things in the window. If you go inside, however, they're all bright and shiny and new, and they charge you the most exorbitant prices for the occasional Panama. I do think, however, that if I was Mr. Clement Freud, and everybody likes to have to do their voices today, I would talk about locks in the way that you have a key and open it before you go into the House of Commons.
And Kenneth Williams is challenged.
Well, I can't hear anything.
He was also deviating because he wasn't being Derek Nimmer. He was trying to become Freud, wasn't he?
That's right.
He was Malcolm Muggeridge.
Wasn't it?
Yes, but so there we are, Kenneth. I agree with your challenge, and you have the subject of locks starting now.
I had to negotiate several locks when I was once on the River Thames. And as we approached Henley, an old crone who was turning the wheel at one told us that she had Romany background. And would we like...
So this week it's a neck-and-neck contest between Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmer, who are now equal in the lead at the end of that round, and we only have one more round to go, and Peter Jones begins with having a nice day.
Well, I'd say, on the whole, that one's companion is probably the most important ingredient if one is hoping to have a nice day. The weather would help, and what one has to eat and where one goes, the sort of ambience of the place, if it's indoors or if it's outdoors, then the panorama.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Then the panorama.
You have a point, you have the subject, you have... 45 seconds, starting now.
Well, it's important notice.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
There's something wrong with that, wasn't there?
Were they clapping with laughter, or were they agree?
There was a snort, wasn't there?
There was a snort, but I don't think he actually hesitated or deviated, No, it was...
He did something that isn't...
He did something.
What?
He's always doing something. We never know what next. So, yes. Kenneth, I will allow you the benefit of the doubt and say, will you please continue with 40 seconds left on having a nice day, starting now.
Having a nice day means not, Peter Jones says, about company. It means not having to bother with anybody at all and just pleasing yourself. And so you wander down the Strand, as the song says.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
You can't wander around down the Strand on your own. I mean, there must be other people there. At every hour of the day, even in the small hours of the morning.
Did he say on your own?
Yes.
Oh, I was trying to get the clock working, actually, the time. So, Peter Jones, you have 25 seconds on having a nice day, starting now.
Walking from, say, Trafalgar Square in the direction of Kingsway, I would hope to meet one or two friends, because the Green Room Club is adjacent Charing Cross Station, where it's reputed if you stay long enough, you meet everyone in the world. I intend to leave this theatre now and make my way in this
Alfred
direction...
Alfred Marx is challenged.
I regret to say this is a studio and not a theatre. It is a deviation, I'm afraid.
It's a theatre of the air.
It is referred to on my...
You see the impossibility of my job, don't you?
It is referred to on my contract as a studio.
Never
as
a studio, and before that it was a cinema, so I will give you the benefit of the doubt, where am I? I'm all over the place. Alfred, and say yes, and you have 2 seconds to go on Having a Nice Day, starting now.
It is the American...
And Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Very good, Peter. Well done.
From nowhere, Peter, with no points at all, to almost equal with the leaders now. This is the last round.
Hang on. Are you giving him that?
Yes, because there's only 1.5 seconds to go. It's the last round in this particular show, so you can have another go if you like, Alfred. 1.5 seconds, Having a Nice Day, starting now.
The Americans are the ones who start.
Right. I apologise for the rather laid-back atmosphere of the last round, but we have now no more time. Let me give you the final score, because Alfred Marx, with that last point for speaking as the whistle went, brought the round to an end, and he moved forward into third place. He was just ahead of Peter Jones, who was just behind Derek Nimmo, who was only 2 points behind this week's winner, the one and only Kenneth Williams. A popular win, but I do think I should explain to our many listeners, both overseas and in this country, that the applause was built up by the histrionic antics of Kenneth as he heard that he was the winner.
There, sticking his bum out. What a cheat.
It only remains for me to say, on behalf of Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, Alfred Marx, Kenneth Williams, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Edward Taylor, we do hope you have enjoyed this show and will want to tune in again and we have another jam session. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.